Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. This morning we consider the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, beginning with the 35th verse, as follows. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Dear friends in Christ, a few years back, a psychologist named Dr. Ruth Berenda carried out an interesting experiment in teen peer pressure. A group of 10 teenagers were assembled in a room to watch a slideshow. Each slide featured four lines of differing lengths, and the teenagers were asked to vote on which line was the longest. What was kept hidden was the fact that only one of the teenagers was the actual subject of the experiment, and the other nine had all been recruited by the researchers and told to vote for the second longest line. In three out of four cases, the subject teenager would vote for the answer that was obviously incorrect simply because the other nine all voted for it. And the ones who did that did it time after time after time. So let me ask you, how do you deal with pressure? Not all pressure is bad, of course. If you feel pressure to get your homework done and get to class on time, that can be something good that you need to function. But a lot of pressure isn't that way, is it? In this dark world, you're going to feel a lot of bad pressure coming from friends, pressure from current trends in society, pressure from social media, pressure from lots of people who have an agenda that's different than the Lord Jesus' agenda for his children. Once again this morning, we're reminded that Jesus sets our agenda. And it's an agenda that resists and stifles pressure, even when that pressure comes from your closest friends, as it did in this case. Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Did you notice that expression, by the way? Simon and those who were with him. Isn't that kind of an odd way to put it? Why didn't Mark just say the other disciples? Perhaps it was because they weren't acting very much like Jesus' disciples. They wanted to be leaders, not followers. They had their own agenda. Jesus was getting to be a big success in his adopted hometown of Capernaum. He could perform miracles. Crowds of people were flocking to see him. Their master was growing in importance, and so were they. And they wanted that to continue. They had big plans for the future. And those plans didn't include Jesus all of a sudden disappearing without telling anybody where he was going. So when they got up in the morning and found Jesus gone, they were surprised and disturbed. They searched for him, and the Greek word there indicates a feverish pursuit. They hunted him down until they found him, and then they brought pressure to bear. Their words sound almost like a rebuke. "Jesus, everyone is looking for you. Don't you understand? You have work to do. You're not following the agenda." But whose agenda was it? Peter and his companions had forgotten one of the first rules of the Christian faith, that it's Jesus who sets our agenda, not the other way around. How do you deal with pressure? Because the pressure's sure out there. Many and daily are the pressures that seek to distract us from our Heavenly Father's agenda, obscure that agenda, interfere with that agenda. The best friend, perhaps, who pressures you to try an activity that you know is not according to your Heavenly Father's will for you. the social media influencer who is not a Christian and who pressures you to question or deny the things that are taught in God's Word, the boyfriend or girlfriend who pressures you to go beyond the bounds of chastity that are required by God's Word. Will you let them set your agenda? Jesus didn't. He dealt with the pressure and stifled it, even when it came from his best friends. To his misguided, short-sighted disciples, Jesus said calmly, "No, we're not going back to Capernaum. We're going in this direction. Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also." Really, what he was telling them was the same thing he had once told his mother and Joseph. "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Today, as you and I come to our Heavenly Father, once again acknowledging our many sins and the many times that we've caved to peer pressure, the many times we buckled to temptation and conformed our lives to the lives of the godless world around us, how good it is to know that Jesus never did that. In our sinful distress, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. They say that only those know the true sharpness of temptation who have successfully resisted it. And Jesus was successful as our champion. All the commandments that you and I have broken, Jesus kept for us. In all the places where we were weak, he stayed strong for us. And when the very last pressure was applied, when that Roman soldier put his shoulder to the great stone and rolled it in front of the tomb of our Savior Jesus, then the pressure was off of us forever. For when Jesus was buried, our sins were buried with him. The grave could not hold him, and now it can't hold you or me either. As we sing with the hymnist, "Who can condemn me now? For surely the Lord is nigh who justifies. No hell I fear, and thus securely with Jesus I to heaven rise." Amen. We'll conclude this morning with the singing of hymn 449.